Brother Prayer. Lord, we want to hear your voice speaking to us today, and we pray that we might understand more clearly your love and your word to us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, friends, the Ten Commandments, 297 words in Hebrew, and yet they still are the centre of moral thinking around the world. And God met with his people and gave them his law, writing his name not only on tablets of stone merely, but have been written on the entire course of human history. And even Christians have trouble sometimes in listing them and being able to write them down. I had a great conversation about 7 months ago in Victoria Road. I had a conversation with a man from Wargrave, and he said to me, John, I'm not a Christian, but I believe the Ten Commandments. I asked him which ones he particularly liked. He could only give me two. We so often forget even the things which we think we know. Again and again, people have lost sight of God and they're no longer hearing his word. And it's almost as if God is dead. And there's a novelist called William Golding who said that if God is dead, if man is the highest, then good and evil are decided by majority vote, as actually happened, I think, rather unwisely in Libya. Because much better have brought those two men to trial than it seems probably to have had them summarily executed. What is the basis of morality today? The American novelist Ernest Hemingway said, what is moral is what you feel good after, and what you feel immoral is what you feel bad after. What about a person who feels good after abusing a child or murdering someone? It simply doesn't work to speak like that. And if you've got no fundamental basis of what's right and wrong, you have to agree. But actually, we just decide according to how we feel. But the people who heard the word of God given in those commandments, when they saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. And they said, do not have God speak to us or we'll die. And perhaps we need ourselves, in our families, in our country, to rediscover this God. Two things to say. First, we have here the words of personal God to rescue people. And what comes in the first two verses, which you may have missed, is the most important part. God said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. The words of a personal God to a rescued people. And then he spoke all those words. Have you realized that at the heart of the commandments lies a personal relationship between God and his people? He reveals himself, uses his personal name, and tells us he is not just leaving words for us to try and understand. No, he's rescued us and he's explained to us what he's done. He's revealed himself in history, and as he speaks, he reveals himself to be a merciful God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. They're not given to tell us these words how to get right with God. So many people imagine, perhaps little Max and Phoebe will imagine that actually I get right with God by obeying his commands. We all fail terribly there. None of us can do that. We've all broken those commands in different ways. We can only be put right with God by his undeserved love and mercy. They're not given to tell us how to get right with God, but to people who are rescued by him and therefore wanted to live in obedience to him, and to reveal how redeemed people, rescued people, ought to live, about what it means to be God's people. And friends, Exodus was, if you like, just the trailer for rescue that was to come. That was a rescue from slavery, the Egyptians, but the rescue for us is from sin, from hell, from separation with God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That loving God is loving God who not just rescues, but shows us what he's like and what is pleasing to him. And my life, since I understood about the cross of Jesus, in my rather feeble, weak way, has tried to be lived in response, in gratitude to what God has done. And rescue people are grateful people, and therefore we want to live as God has shown us. It doesn't make us the people of God, but it should mark us out as people of God. And we pray that these two children, whose lives are identified with the death and resurrection of Jesus, would, in the years ahead, in gratitude, want to live for Jesus Christ. So first, the words of a personal God to rescue people. That God still speaks to us. Second, the word of a loving God to a modern people. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to add things to my faith. It's a Jesus plus. And yet verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. It could come out of a wedding service, couldn't it? Will you take and forsaking all others, be faithful as long as you both shall live? And friends, this is pillow talk and not the language of the solicitor's office or worse, a police interview room. To be one of the redeemed people of God is to enter a relationship with God, an exclusive one, to turn from other gods. And yet so often we add other things in. It may be an ambition, it may be that next holiday, it may be we'd like to have Jesus with other smatterings of a different worldview. Yet when Jesus asked the greatest of the commandments, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. Is there something or someone more important to you than God, and the God who revealed himself in Jesus Christ? We'll be wary of adding other things to what God has said to us and done for us. The commandments are need to remind us of our need for rescue, because we've all broken those, if not literally, certainly in our minds, and they drive us back to the cross. The Archbishop of Paris was one day telling a story, and he talked about some boys in Paris who went into a cathedral, and there was in a side chapel a cross, and one of the boys was dared to go to one of the clergy in the cathedral and to confess the most outlandish things, graphic news of the world type things. And the old clergyman wasn't shocked. He listened. And he said to that young man, he said, I want you to go kneel in that side chapel, in front of that cross, and you'll see a picture of, symbolically, Jesus Christ on the cross. I want you to kneel there, and looking at it, say three times, you died for me and I don't care a damn. And that boy went in, he knelt down, and he said, you died for me and I don't care a damn. He said again, you died for me and I don't care a damn. He then said again, you died for me. And at that moment, he suddenly realized what Christ had done for him, the wonderful rescue. The Archbishop of Paris says, I know that story was true because I was that boy. See, Christianity is about rescue and living our lives. Have you recognized Jesus, the rescuer he is? Not just a national rescue of people of Israel from Egypt, but a rescue of every nation. And the biggest thing in the world is the kingdom of God. And how we pray that Max and Phoebe and each of us will find the joy of that one eternal lasting thing which will go on when this earth ends and the new creation is brought into being by Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word, said Jesus. And that's why today is a wonderful but solemn day, baptizing two children. May we listen and realize what Christ has done for each one of us, young and old. Amen. About this psalm, that great scholar of literature and then theology, he called it the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. And C.S. Lewis goes on and talks about the searching and cleansing sun becoming an image of the searching and cleansing word of God. It makes us aware of sin, our errors, our hidden faults, our willful sins. It tells us about those, makes us aware of our need. It leads us also to ask for help. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. It gives desire to please him. And that ending, my rock and redeemer, is on a level with Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi. Who do men say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. The Apostle Paul, it pleased God to reveal his Son to me. Are we making the most of the immense privileges we have? How sad if we're ignoring God's word. If you're a parent, you loathe your children ignoring you. It's not right. But how is it we'd be so casual about listening to what the Lord might say to us? And you know, we know him, but only because he has chosen to reveal himself. And to close our Bibles is to close the offer of salvation. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, says Jesus, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. A prayer. Let's keep quiet and just ponder what God might be reminding us of. On this day, Lord, when in its wisdom your church has yearly provided a remembrance of the Bible, we confess that we do not give enough time to read it, enough thought to understand, enough courage to let it sink into our hearts, enough discipline to keep obeying its laws, enough energy to respond to its message with action. Merciful Lord, forgive us and help us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. Amen.